This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 31 of Surah Zukhruf, page number 663 of the Noble Quran translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم أبوابا وسررا عليها يتكئون وزخرفا وإن كل ذلك لما متاع الحياة الدنيا والآخرة عند ربك للمتقين ومن يعش عن ذكر الرحمن نقيض له شيطانا فهو له قرين وإنهم ليصدونهم عن السبيل ويحسبون أنهم مهتدون حتى إذا جاءنا قال يا ليت بيني وبينك بعد المشرقين فبئس القرين ولن ينفعكم اليوم إذ ظلمتم أنكم في العذاب مشتركون أفأنت تسمع الصم أو تهدي العمي ومن كان في ضلال مبين فإما نذهبن بك فإنا منهم منتقمون أو نرينك الذي وعدناهم فإنا عليهم مقتدرون فاستمسك بالذي أوحي إليك إنك على صراط مستقيم وإنه لذكر لك ولقومك وسوف تسألون واسأل من أرسلنا من قبلك من رسلنا أجعلنا من دون الرحمن آلهة يعبدون ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا إلى فرعون وملئه فقال إني رسول رب العالمين فلما جاءهم بآياتنا إذا هم منها يضحكون وما نريهم من آية إلا هي أكبر من أختها وأخذناهم بالعذاب لعلهم يرجعون وقالوا يا أيها الساحر ادع لنا ربك وقالوا يا أيها الساحر ادع لنا ربك بما وقالوا يا أيها الساحر ادع لنا ربك بما عهد عندك إننا لمهتدون فلما كشفنا عنهم العذاب إذا هم ينكثون ونادى فرعون في قومه قال يا قوم أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينٌ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. My dearest mothers and sisters, mashallah, tabarakallah, we are in the surah known as Az-Zukhruf, and these are the decorations and the ornaments of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of how if He wanted, He could have given that to everyone, but people would have disbelieved. When people have too much, sometimes they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we would not be wrong if we said the majority would actually turn away from Allah, as per the verses that we will read inshallah this morning or translate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the fact that He is the one who chooses who to give elevation to, who to drop, who to give wealth to, who to give izzah and respect to, and who not to. It's Allah's choice, and Allah is the one who chooses completely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sent to them, the people of Mecca and Quraysh, they asked one simple question. And in fact, it was a dirty question. The question is, they started actually bringing fault in, or finding fault in, the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from a humble home, although it was well respected, but he was an orphan child. So they said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. That why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal this Qur'an to this man? Why didn't He reveal the Qur'an to a great man from one of the two cities? So if you take a look at the Arabic language, those of us who might know a little bit of Arabic, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ عَظِيمٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ. Allah, they said that why wasn't this Qur'an revealed to a big man from one of the cities, one of the two cities? Which were these cities? Mecca was a big city and Ta'if was also a city. So one of the cities. So the term Azim is referring to the Rajul, the person, and not the city. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of their question, and Allah says in an answer to that question, do they distribute the mercy of Allah? Who are they to question the mercy of Allah? If Allah wants, He can make a person from the slums become one of the wealthiest. And if Allah wants, He can make a person from the wealthiest of homes lead a life full of failure. And He has done that, and it happens even in our own midst. We witness people from wealthy families who've wasted their lives. And we've witnessed people from very humble homes who've actually succeeded in such a big way that we wouldn't even imagine. All this is from Allah and His mercy, and He is the sole distributor. Nobody has a say in the choice and decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we have the ability to ask Allah, but it's Allah's choice whether He's going to give it to us or not. And every time a believer always should be believing that whatever he has then been apportioned. A believer should always believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has chosen to give the person or to give us as believers, is the best that we could ever have. So if Allah has kept you beyond the line of poverty such that you cannot afford food and drink, it's the best possible thing that you could have had in this world. And although we keep on making dua and calling out to Allah, we need to understand that a believer believes that the picture is not complete until we get to the hereafter. So what you have in this world is totally irrelevant, completely and utterly irrelevant. It is very, very temporary. And if you apportioned a huge amount in this world, but you have nothing in the hereafter, you have lost totally. And if you've been given absolutely nothing in this world, but you have everything in the hereafter, then you have gained completely. This is a believer. And this is why not a single soul on earth can say that I've led a life according to my whims and fancies. Not even one. I've led a life according to my decision, my choice. Not even one. So when we go through problems and difficulties, let's not forget that every single soul, without a single exception, has had to go through whatever Allah has chosen and decreed for them. And they've been through what they would term difficulty and hardship, no matter how wealthy and good-looking they are, no matter how powerful they are on a global level. Subhanallah. That's Allah. So this is a believer. Allah is trying to warn us and remind us at the same time. To say, don't forget that there is a broader picture and you will only know happiness when you die. That's it. Because in this world, you will never ever know permanent happiness. The happiness you have is very temporary. Remember this. Today, if you are smiling, tomorrow you will not be smiling. Remember this. Unless you have surrendered to the decree of Allah. And unless you're a believer. So what would happen to a believer? Even if they don't have what their heart wants to have, they know that whatever I have is what Allah wants me to have. I will keep on praying. I will keep on asking. I will keep on trying. And I may never get it. But no one else has. You know, a few days ago, we were talking to someone and the person was telling me, he was an atheist. And he was saying that, how can there be a God when the world is suffering? Why would a God make everyone suffer? So I don't believe there's a God. So I said, well, even though you don't believe there's a God, people are still suffering. So without a God, they are suffering. With a God, they would probably, life would is made easier for them because they know that there is a God. Subhanallah. So to be honest, look at it from that perspective, that even if you take a God out of the equation for argument's sake, people will still suffer. It doesn't actually remove people from suffering. So don't blame the God. But in fact, the fact that Allah exists is actually a consolation to the believer, to the one who believes that there is a life after death. Something simple. Now the same rule applied to our own lives. Your life, my life, we go through problems, we go through difficulty, we go through, you know, issues, sometimes sickness, whether it is just a common cold or flu or something a little bit more serious. May Allah grant us all shifa and cure. And ultimately, guess what? We lose our life. The life is gone. We're actually dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting. And Allah knows. And Allah has apportioned for us whatever He wills. We are not going to change that. Nothing is going to change. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way Allah's system works. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you do not distribute the gift of Allah. We chose that He will be the messenger, the best of creation, the final of the messengers, the most noble of all the messengers. You don't have a say in it. But if you don't believe and don't accept, you are at loss. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May He make us from those who surrender. Ameen. So Allah says that, do they distribute the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have apportioned among them their livelihood in the life of this world and have raised some of them above others in degree of rank, that they may make use of one another for service. So this means if everyone was wealthy, who was going to work at your house? Who was going to weed the beautiful green lawn in this lovely season? MashaAllah. You know, holiday season, I see everyone's gone on holiday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us all. May He grant Jannah to those who passed away yesterday in a huge accident just outside Azadville. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for their families. But at the same time, it's quite a dangerous season. It's wet weather in this part of the world. And at the same time, festive season, or should I say holiday, minimum for us. And at the same time, end of the year. So let's be careful. And whenever we go out on a holiday, just remember not to forget your duties unto Allah. Whether it is clothing, whether it is food, whether it is salah, no matter what it is, these are the basics that Allah requires of us. And it will only be us who will benefit if we do these things. Allah will not lose if we don't do this, but it is us who stand to lose. So my mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying quite clearly here that people are raised above one another in order that some may make use of the others and benefit them. So a person will work for you, you pay them. Why? Because you could afford the salary. If you couldn't, they would not be working for you. You might have had to work for someone else. Perhaps a person is higher, someone else is lower in a specific way. But in the eyes of Allah, we are all human beings, all have equal access to Allah. Whether you are a ruler or the one who is ruled, whether you are an MP or whether you are someone else. An MP does not stand for mommy, papa. Allahu Akbar. I just heard that yesterday and I was laughing. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. My mothers and sisters, the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He could have given, or He would have given everyone an abundance of wealth. But if that were to have happened, then people would have turned away from Allah. Listen to what He says. And if it were not that the people would become one community of disbelievers, we would have made, Allah says, we would have made for those who disbelieve in the most merciful, for their houses, ceilings and stairways of silver upon which to mount, and for their houses, doors and couches of silver upon which to recline, and gold ornament. But all that is not but the enjoyment of the worldly life. And the hereafter with your Lord is for the righteous. So Allah is saying, had we given in abundance, everyone would have disbelieved. Had it not been for the fact that everyone would have disbelieved and become one nation of disbelievers, we would have actually given those who disbelieved everything they wanted, and even more in this world. And in the Akhirah, they would get nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, as a favor upon you, we held back giving you the worldly items. Imagine, just for a moment, if every one of us was wealthy, very, very wealthy, so much so that we could afford anything and everything, we would be fighting each other, competing with each other, they would be killing, because people wouldn't be competing again when it comes to wealth, but competition in power and authority. And this is what would happen. And Allah's made mention of this elsewhere in the Quran. And subhanAllah, it's a very, very great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hasn't just thrown everything of the worldly material items to us. He's kept it and He's actually held back. And this is a gift. It actually makes us call out to Him. If we were all wealthy, one wonders if we would actually be seated here today. SubhanAllah. You know, everyone with the same thing, we'd be, SubhanAllah, there wouldn't even be the latest technology to show off, because everyone would have it. SubhanAllah. Everyone would have everything. What's left? Power, authority. Everyone would have their little territory. It is actually, very scary to sit and think about that. So Allah says, no, the Akhirah and the life after, the hereafter, is actually with your Lord, that for the righteous. It is actually for the righteous, those who do good, those who can call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who understand what worshipping Allah is all about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us all. And whoever is blinded from the remembrance of the Most Merciful, we appoint for him a devil, and he is to him a companion. This to me is one of the most powerful verses of the Quran. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Whoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, from being conscious of Allah, from thinking about Allah, from saying Allah's name in worship, such as SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, from the Quran as well, because that is also dhikr ar-Rahman, that is also the remembrance of Allah. The greatest form of remembrance is His word and His Quran. Whoever turns away, forgets Allah, leads a life far from Allah, Allah says, well, we will appoint for that person a devil as a companion. Now listen to what happens. So my friend is a human being, but he's a devil. She's a devil. And I don't know, but Allah knows. The reason why Allah has appointed the person to be my companion is because I forgot Allah. Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They forgot Allah. Allah says, we forget them as well. Allah says, we've appointed for them a devil. And sometimes the devil is from the jinn kind. And this is why the jinn kind affect those who turn away from Allah, who sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who actually have distanced themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to verses of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we appoint a devil for that person, and that devil remains the companion. So your best friend, or your company, or a shaitan in the form of a jinn giving you these evil thoughts, and you keep on heading in this direction and that direction, all this is included, because they become your companion. When the jinn, or should I say, when shaitan is a companion of a person, the person cannot think. Let's listen to the next verse. Allah says, indeed, they, the devils, divert them or avert them from the way of guidance, while they will be thinking that we are rightly guided. This is so scary. People think, you know, we are rightly guided. We are on the right path. But they are very, very much on the wrong path. And the reason why their brains are knocked is because their friends are devils. That's the reason. So this verse shows us the impact of friends in our lives. They will convince you that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. That is the impact of friends. And those devils who are friends, they only will be our friends if we have distanced ourselves from Allah. The minute we develop a link with Allah and it becomes strong, we will distance ourselves from those type of people, because like they say, birds of a feather flock together, and so on. So we would not be able to move around. You know, a swallow and an eagle do not fly together. SubhanAllah. A little pigeon and an eagle or a vulture do not fly together, but they're both birds. They're different, very different. So the same would apply if my aim in life is to please Allah and another person's aim in life is to please the devil, we will not get along. Perhaps we might, you know, the person might walk into my business or I might walk into theirs to buy water or something else. But that's it. We don't have a relationship. That person's not considered my friend. They don't have an impact in my life. I know them and I believe lakum dinukum waliya din. You have your faith, you follow it, and I have mine and I will follow it. And we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the beauty of Allah and the gift that He gives those who remember Him constantly. This is why we say, read the Quran, read its meaning. It's the most powerful dhikr you have. Remember Allah through the other adhkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, praise be to you, O Allah, O glory be to you, O Allah. This is also extremely powerful. It's a gift of Allah upon us. So when we do this and we are conscious, remember Allah when it comes to time of salah and fulfill your salah immediately. Remember Allah when you go out on holiday and you're so tempted to take off the proper dress code and you want to dress in your own little way. May Allah make it such that we dress within His obedience so that we are not appointed with people who are the devils, enemies of Allah. You know, when a person is dressed appropriately, those who are inappropriately dressed and have evil intentions will find it difficult to mix with them as friends. And then you come and say, you know, and I know this has happened to certain young teenagers who are at high school and so on. They say, no one wants to talk to me. No one wants to mix with me. Well, to be honest with you, sometimes, subhanallah, Allah is just protecting you from evil company. And this is why we say, like, you know, the men who also dress appropriately and so on. It's not easy for people who have weird lives to come and mix with others whose lives are straight, because they will get bored. A person whose whole life, every weekend, a person who spends those weekends in the clubs and the pubs, and then you have another person who spends it in the masjid, the two will not be able to hang out because they're two different places. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want to be protected, then make sure your friends are correct. And in order to get correct friends, remember Allah. When you remember Allah and your aim is to please Allah, automatically you will be able to choose those who are correct around you. And Allah will grant you the acceptance, because Allah will not appoint for you a devil, because you are not transgressing against Allah's instruction wholeheartedly. May Allah forgive us. The shortcomings we have is something else. But the intentional sin in defiance of Allah is something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and ease. So Allah says, the people will be doing that which is evil and they will be thinking that this is right and this is correct. So when you talk to them with evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, their brains are so knocked that they will not be able to see the light. They will continue in their bad ways, justifying their evil, their wrongdoing, their polytheism, their sin, their deviation, their innovation, whatever else it is. Because They have the devils appointed as their friends, as their companions. What more do you expect? This is something dangerous. Because when Allah tells you that a person who is away from the remembrance of Allah can be doing something totally wrong, thinking it's right, I can give you thousands of examples from around me of that happening. And may Allah protect me and you as well, all of us, from this happening to us. Imagine if you really convinced that what you're doing is right and it's actually totally wrong. And you don't even have a clue. And the reason of it is because the friends you have are totally up the pole, basically. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. That's dangerous. And this is why, even when it comes to marital advice and so on, to seek advice from friends sometimes could be the most detrimental thing for your marriage. And this, I'm just giving an example because I've seen it in front of my eyes, where a problem that is so solvable and resolvable, your friend says, no ways, just go out, you know, just get out and just ask for a divorce. And then you sit back and you're divorced and you've got no clue of what's going on. And a bigger problem happens to the same friend. And guess what? She sits in the marriage. And then you look and you scratch your head and you say, hey, what went on here? Well, you got advice from the devil. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us. If we were closer to Allah, perhaps we would be able to distinguish between what's right and wrong. Because when you have a problem, go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Go back to the ulama. Go back to the teachings of the scholars of Islam, and you will find answers. You will find responses. They may not be what you like and what the world would like to see from you. But trust me, sometimes what the world would like to see from you is that you are stripped of all dignity, all respect, and you are thrown into one corner of a pit. And that's when they will be so happy and delighted with you and they will forget about you. But for as long as you're achieving something, there will be jealous brats across the globe who will try to drop you. May Allah protect us. Allahu Akbar. Giving you wrong advice, perhaps, you know, looking at you with the evil eye and what. These verses have in them not only guidance, not only a warning, but a consolation for those who are going through turbulence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May He grant us ease. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until when He comes to us, meaning such a person who forgot Allah and the devil was appointed as a companion, and so they were doing things that they believed were right and yet those things were wrong. Allah says, when He comes to us at judgment, He says to His companion, how I wish that there was between me and you the distance between the east and the west. And what a wretched companion. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, it's too late. You look at those friends who took you to the clubs and the pubs and told you what to do and how to undress yourself for the globe and so on. And then you, on the day of judgment, you look at them and you say, but you know what? I wish and I pray that between you and me was the distance of the east and the west, and that I never ever knew you, because you were the worst of companions. You are the one who led me astray. Look, today we are both suffering. May Allah forgive us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and never will it benefit you that day when you have wronged, that you are all sharing in punishment. If you have wronged, there's no point in playing the blame game. You will all be, Allah is warning, in the punishment. May Allah forgive us. May He strengthen us. May He not do that to us. Ameen. So Allah says it's not going to help you in any way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then will you make the deaf hear, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or guide the blind, or he who is in clear error? This verse is connected to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guiding people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that your duty, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to deliver the message. But whether or not they are going to adopt the message, that is in the hands of Allah. Some people have eyes, but they are blind. They are blind because they will not see the message, because of their companions, because of their surroundings, because of the bombardment and brainwashing that they've been subjected to for so long, and because of the fact that they did not think clearly. They did not turn to Allah. So Allah says, will you then be able to make the deaf here, not meaning the physically deaf, but meaning those who don't want to hear, hear? And those who are blind, will you be able to guide them? Blind, not as in physical blindness, but blind as in those who don't want to see the path. That's it, they're blind from it. No matter how many times you show them, hey, this is red, and this is blue, and that is yellow, and these are primary colors. And they will tell you, no. No, not at all. Because they're perhaps blinded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those who are blind or blinded. Then Allah says, and whether or not we take you away in death, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed we will take retribution upon them. We will take retribution upon them. Whatever happens to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is one thing. But as for everyone, whoever does bad, there will be retribution. My mothers and sisters, a way out of this is tawbah, asking Allah's forgiveness, and that's a gift of a Muslim. The gift of the Muslim is no matter when and what you've done wrong, you ask Allah's forgiveness, you regret, you admit your sin, you promise not to do it again, and guess what? The sin is wiped out completely. Do not let shaitan deviate you to make you think that the sin you've committed 10 years, 20 years back is still haunting you. By the will of Allah, if you've admitted, you've regretted, you've asked Allah's forgiveness, and you promise not to do it again, it is wiped out completely. You start a new page, a new leaf, a new life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. We are all human beings. We all make mistakes. We all do things sometimes that we are not proud of. But this is why we have the most merciful Lord. If you take a look at the verses we read today, Allah describes Himself as most merciful in more than one place, in today's verses. And this is a gift of Allah upon us. So my mothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or whether or not we show you that which we have promised them, indeed we are in perfect ability. Allah says, the punishment we've promised the disbelievers, you may go before they are punished, and we will punish them in this world or the next, or both. And if we want, you may be able, or you may see some of that punishment. We may show it to you in the sense that in your lifetime, in front of you, you might see people being punished. And subhanAllah, this is Allah's way. Allah says, we are able and capable. We can do whatever we wish and whatever we want. So Allah says, so adhere to that which is revealed to you. Indeed, you are on the straight path. If you follow revelation, you're on the straight path. Because Allah made you, He created you and me, and He created us all, and He knows exactly how we operate and what is needed for us to succeed, and what would be the outcome of those who actually did not follow His instruction. So He's laid down instruction and He's made everything quite clear. You follow it, you achieve eternal success. You don't follow it, you might just achieve temporary success. But then again, everyone, those who are suffering, the suffering is temporary. Those who are in happiness and joy of this world, that happiness and joy is quite temporary. But it is only when you succeed on the day of judgment that it is eternal and permanent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Ameen. So Allah says, and indeed it is a remembrance for you and your people, and you all are going to be questioned. وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكْ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ Allahu Akbar. You see, this revelation that Allah has revealed to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it as a remembrance, a warning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, you will be questioned about it. Look at this. وَإِنَّهُ Allah is referring to the Qur'an, the revelation. This Qur'an is indeed a reminder. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Indeed, this Qur'an is a remembrance for you and your people. And you are all going to be questioned about it. So Allah is going to ask you and I, didn't I send you a book? Yes. What did you do about it? Well, I could recite it very well. Did you know what it meant? Did you try to understand the message in it? No. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. If that's the case, we wasted our lives. Imagine you sent in this life in order to study the Quran. You've done everything in this life besides studying the Quran. Come on. Allahu Akbar. What a waste of a life. I was sent into this life in order to understand what Allah wants from me. I need to read the manual. I need to read the book. I need to understand the book. So I've just heard hearsay from people, and anyone could lie to you. Anyone could lie to me. And I don't have an excuse on the day of judgment to say, you know what? Yes, I wanted to learn the Quran, but I just believed people around me. And guess what? They were lying to me. So I'm sorry. Oh Allah, punish them. Don't punish me. Allah will say, we preserved the book. You read it in its original form and text. Why didn't you attempt to understand it? You would have known. This is why I always say, my mothers and sisters, if you have attempted to understand the Quran properly and thoroughly for yourself, you nobody will be able to fool you when it comes to polytheism and innovation and various other things. You will be on the straight and narrow. Why? Because you've understood the Quran, you've made an attempt yourself, even if it takes you 10 years to do that. What's 10 years compared to 60, 70 years Allah is giving you? Not even a sixth, subhanAllah. Not even a tenth, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and may He accept these lessons that we deliver, although they are just the basics. They're just a translation, basically, and a few words of advice. That's what it is. But at least it's a beginning. At least it's something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us. So Allah says, we are definitely going to ask you about it, about the Quran, what you did with it. And Allah says, and ask those who we sent before you, of our messengers, have we made besides the most merciful deities to be worshipped? Did we ever allow anyone or anything to be worshipped besides us? Ask the messengers before you. Go and check the previous scriptures, subhanAllah. If they are, those that, if they were not changed, they would confirm that subhanAllah, that Allah has never ever told us to ask the people to worship anyone or anything besides Him. Take a look at the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says quite clearly that we will ask Jesus, the son of Mary, may peace be upon them both, that did you ask the people to worship yourself and your mother besides Allah? And He will say, never ever. How could I have uttered that which I don't even have authority to utter? Not at all. So Allah will confirm that He was not the one who called people to worship His mother and Himself. Not at all. Meaning Jesus was not the one. May peace be upon Him. So Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask those whom we sent before you of our messengers, have we made besides the most merciful deities to be worshipped? Now this question is more for us in the sense that we learn a lesson not to worship anyone or anything besides Allah, no matter what. You have a little speck of a doubt, any act of worship, never ever render it to anyone or anything besides He who made you. Stop there. That is the concept of worship. If you do render an act of worship to someone or something besides Allah, even in the smallest way, you are risking your entire hereafter completely. Because Allah's asked us in the Quran mainly to do one major thing, and that is worship me alone. Allahu Akbar. Worship me alone. So many places in the Quran, Allah says, we sent every messenger with one message, to worship me and not to associate partners with me. We sent all the messengers in order to teach the people and guide them to worship me and not to worship anyone with me or besides me. Subhanallah. This was the message. But still sometimes we worship sticks and stones and graves and saints and whatever else. And subhanallah, may Allah forgive us, and really may He protect this ummah and guide us all. And we want to justify it, claiming that, you know, we're dirty souls and so on and so forth. Well, that's shaitan, and that's the qareen that's being spoken about in these verses, that Allah's appointed the devil as your best friend, and therefore you will not see the light, and you don't see the light. And there you are. Yet had you read the Quran, you would have known that even what these people are doing is absolutely wrong. Let me abstain from it, because I need to answer Allah myself. Allah's not going to ask your father that, you know what, tell me the deeds that your son did. No. Allah's not going to ask the friend, what did your friend do? What did you do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and certainly did we send Moses with our signs. We sent Moses with our signs, Musa alayhi salam, to the Pharaoh and his establishments. So what did the Pharaoh said? In fact, what did Musa alayhi salam say? Moses said, Inni Rasulu Rabbil Alameen. He went to the Pharaoh and said, I am the messenger of the Lord of the worlds. But when he brought them our signs, at once they laughed at them. Now Allah is showing you how some people will handle the truth. When the truth comes to them, they laugh it off. Why? Because they're enjoying life too much. They've got a lot of power, a lot of authority. They laugh it off, they scoff, they threaten. They try to implement their threats or execute their threats. So Allah says, the reason why these verses are being made mention of here, some of the scholars have said, is because when a person is on the right path and they have the right message, people will laugh at them. Musa alayhi salam, Moses, may peace be upon him, such a powerful figure, one of the five of the most high and powerful of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he is going to the Pharaoh with the clear cut signs of Allah, direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells the Pharaoh that I am a messenger from Allah, here are the signs. And Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَضْحَكُونَ. When Moses came with the clear signs from us, these people started laughing at him. So my mother, my sister, imagine, for them to laugh at us is minor, it's nothing. They will laugh. You want to dress appropriately, you have a lot of people laughing at you. You want to read your salah in somewhere where, subhanallah, people might see you because your salah, the time was running out. You have an option of pleasing them by not reading your salah so that they don't need to see someone in prostration. Or you have an option of forgetting about what they think, positive or negative, and just pleasing Allah. You'll be surprised how many people look at it positively. But there will be people who will laugh at you. There will be people who will scoff. There will be people who will try and make your life difficult. There will be actions that happen across the globe that have absolutely nothing with Islam, in order to tarnish the image of Islam and in order to test those who are Muslims. Will you abandon Islam just because of un-Islamic activity of some? No, we won't abandon it, not at all. We know the proper Islam, we know we've been brought up with it, alhamdulillah, decades on end. We were fortunate that we were born in Islam, and we've known an Islam full of peace and tolerance, goodness and guidance, and full of every form of goodness and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serving humanity in a way that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is going on in terms of barbarism and so on, it's got nothing to do with us, but it must not make us abandon our faith, because that is what the people intend. They want us to abandon. So now, I don't even want to associate myself with Islam. Not even my name. You know, if your name, subhanAllah, is Fatima, you don't have to go around saying, what's your name? And you say, Tima. Tima. Wow. Tima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Just because I don't want to be known as a Muslim. Fatima, mashallah. That name is not just unique to Islam. Even non-Muslims have that name. Fatima. It's a common name. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. I just chose that name. It's the name of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. So don't be shy to say what your name is. If it's a proper Muslim name, alhamdulillah. You know, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Aziz, Abdullah. There's nothing wrong. Muhammad and so on. Alhamdulillah. Say it loud and clear. and people would actually learn. I read a name this morning, in fact, Ibtihaj. And I was thinking to myself, there's a sportswoman on a global level, mashallah, she's achieved quite a bit. I think she's a fencer. And her name is Ibtihaj Muhammad. So what a beautiful name. Would it be, I don't ever think she would actually compromise that name just because of what people who are not following Islam have done in terms of barbarism across the globe. No. In fact, the more you come up with the real proper name that you are, and people see the goodness in you, they will actually now get the proper image of Islam. And this is why we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the example of the Pharaoh and Moses here, so that we can know that if people laugh at us, there are others who have laughed at people who are better than us. So big deal. Allahu Akbar. Allah will grant you the reward of your patience. So be patient. So Allah says, when our signs came to them, at once they laughed. إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَضْحَكُونَ They laughed at these signs. They scoffed. Allah says, and we showed them not a sign except that it was greater than its sister. You know what its sister means? The other signs. So every time there was a sign, it was bigger than the previous one. The next sign came, it was bigger than the previous one. The following one came, it was bigger than that one. And so on. Allah says, and then we seized them with affliction that perhaps they might return to faith. Stop there for a moment. Listen to what Allah says carefully. He says, we seized them with affliction that perhaps they might turn to faith. It means that Allah uses this as a plan and a scheme of His. That sometimes in order to remind people, He afflicts them with something. He actually seizes them with affliction, as per the wording of this beautiful verse, in order to tap them, to remind them, hey, I exist. Hey, turn to me. Hey, come worship me. And sometimes they won't, and sometimes they will. When it comes to a person who's already uttering the Shahada and already a Muslim, and sometimes they are dilly-dallying and swaying with the wind and perhaps not on the proper path exactly, Allah may tap them with affliction in order to make them better Muslims. Where do we get that from? This beautiful verse, where Allah is saying, look, we used affliction in order to perhaps let them be reminded and that they may turn. But sometimes they don't turn. So the same applies to us in our lives. Sometimes when we are dilly-dallying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taps us. In what way? With a little sickness, with a little problem, with an issue. May Allah never ever do that which is too big for us to handle. May He make it easy for us. May we not be from amongst those who have to wait for a huge calamity, affliction, before we turn to Allah. May we be from amongst those who've turned to Allah properly, correctly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Ameen. So my mothers and sisters, take a look at this. Allah says, and they said to Moses, O magician! Imagine they're now insulting him. He's a messenger, but they're calling him magician. And this shows us that those who choose to insult, they're actually not intelligent at all. Because if you were intelligent, you would have engaged someone in discussion. When you don't have anything to say, you start swearing, you know, you start uttering vulgar words, you start becoming disrespectful because you've got nothing to say. That's the only thing you know. You're not sharp enough to actually respond in a positive way. You know, someone tells you, you're a dog. Astaghfirullah. You don't have to get excited because the person looks exactly like you. So if you're a dog, guess what? They're a bull terrier. Allahu Akbar. They're a bigger dog. Astaghfirullah. Because they look just like you. They are your species and they know that. So if you call someone a dog, a cat, a monkey and so on, may Allah forgive us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us an upright tongue and a good heart. If we say these derogatory words to people, you know, then Allahu Akbar, it would make us even worse. Because we are from the same species. And who knows, that person could get guidance. That, like we said at the beginning of this talk, when you succeed, when will you succeed? The day of judgment, when you are given your book on the right hand and you are told, guess what, here you have a lifelong visa, straight into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. That's the day of success. May Allah grant it to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that they said to Moses, O magician, invoke for us your Lord by what He has promised you, indeed we will be guided. What does this mean? You see, when they were affected with the plague, they knew that this plague came and they could do nothing about it. Although they were powerful, Fir'aun used to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your highest God. No, there is no God besides me. That's what Fir'aun used to say. He used to say to his people, Hal alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. Do you know anyone I don't know of anyone besides myself as a God for you. Do you know anyone besides me as a God for you? And yet when the plague came, he could do nothing about it. There were frogs all over the show, in the houses and everywhere. Imagine frogs. And then there were locusts everywhere. And then there were other things everywhere. They could just see these things. You know, cockroaches all over, everywhere, infested completely. And they could do nothing. And they knew this is because we think we control everything and we don't. So they went to Moses. And instead of saying, "Oh Moses," which was good enough, they said, "Oh magician," which is like swearing him, saying, "You know what? What you've come with is magic. But look, Allah is showing us that the people who accuse others of doing what they have not done, they actually contradict themselves in a big way. Because on one hand, look at these people, they're saying, "Oh magician," and then they're saying, "Call out to your Lord," which means what you've brought is actually from your Lord. It's not magic. Because if they really believed he was a magician, they would have said, "Oh magician, turn back your magic and we will believe, we will follow." That's what they would have said. But look what they say. "Ya ayyuha sahir, ud'u lana rabbak bima ahida indak." Oh magician, invoke for us your Lord by what he has promised you. Which means we believe completely and totally that you have a Lord and your Lord is correct. And that you are not a magician. But because we are jealous of you, we're calling you a magician. That's what it is. And we still want you to go back. And we know it's not magic. So we're not going to tell you to reverse your magic. But we're going to tell you, go back to your Lord and ask your Lord to reverse what has happened here. And then we will believe both inward and outward. So in their hearts, they knew what was right and wrong, but they refused to surrender to it. So they were known as kuffar. They were known as disbelievers because they refused to surrender to it. In their hearts, they knew what was right and wrong. And the same applies to a lot of people. Sometimes in your heart and in our hearts, we know exactly what's right and wrong, but people refuse to believe. My mothers and sisters, the time is up. But at the same time, I think we will have to just pause there, perhaps continue next week from where we left off. I'm looking forward to coming back here, inshallah, next week. I hope and pray that we all have a good holiday. Wherever you go, be safe. Remember Allah, make your dua when you are embarking on your journey. And make dua for those from your community and society and the ummah and families and so on who've gone out on holiday. We pray that they have a fruitful break and they have a good holiday in the remembrance and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hope to see you back again next week. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد